Moncrief on News Talk.
Time again for our short series at What Not to Do if you're facing into a wedding. Today, Sunday Independent columnist Gina London joins us to advise on what to consider if there's a speech in your new future. Gina, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Sean.
An awful lot of people who give speeches at weddings have never given a speech before. And it always strikes me that you can rehearse it as much as you like, but then you stand up in a room full of people who are looking at you, expectation brimming on their faces, saying, is he going to be funny? Is he going to move me to tears at any point? And that's when, you know, your sphincter muscle tightens up and not a word will come out of your mouth. How does one get over that?
Well, that particular aspect of
it. I don't mean
it,
the physical aspect. I just want to be the nerves.
What I would say, first of all, is to be aware that the nerves do happen. And so that's just one thing to give yourself a little comfort. Number two, don't drink too much to try to calm those nerves, because then what's going to potentially happen is that you're going to get that mic and you're likely to ramble. And one thing that's really important in any kind of speech is that tight is right and less is more. When you've got that mic, you start to go in a rabbit's hole. And the next thing you know, you're looking out to the audience and they're staring at you like, what is going on? Why are you here? And you realize 20 minutes have passed and everybody's losing the will to live. So prepare, practice out loud. But I would certainly encourage people, if you've got a script, there's no shame in bringing it with you to the day. Read it, look up, wait for the laugh. If it doesn't come, keep going. But do prepare. And another thing I like to encourage people is to prepare and then rehearse it or say it out loud or share it with somebody else so that you can get that temperature gauge of, oh, granny's not going to like that joke, is way too off color, or that's subtle, but nobody's going to get it, or that doesn't make any sense. Do test the waters before you get up there. Make sure the first time that you're saying it is not on the wedding day.
Yeah. And presumably, like, if it's the best man speech, usually they know the groom more than they know the bride. And I suppose they have to think about the room, because the room kind of is evenly distributed between people who know those two.
Exactly. And it's not about you and the groom. It's about the whole audience. And so if you've got a couple of jokes, that's great. But do, again, test. Are they vulgar or are they innuendo? There's a big difference. I'm not saying everybody has to be boring and be as white as the bride's dress potentially, but it does mean that you need to be thinking about who else is in the audience. So tell a humorous story, but don't go so off-piste that you leave everybody wishing that you hadn't stepped up there in the first place.
Yeah. The difficulty is that you might have a story about somebody that you think is very entertaining or even interesting. Who's going to tell you, oh my God, I want to shoot myself listening to you tell that story?
That's why you got to get a trusted person to soundboard off of you. If someone's going to go, you know what, that's a great story, can you just reduce it a little bit here? Or we don't need all that extra extraneous stuff to the story. Can you write it? I like to joke with my clients. This is a joke. Write drunk, edit sober. You're welcome to go and write all the thoughts you have about your best mate, or if you're the mother of the bride or the father of the groom or whatever, whoever you are, write all those stories, but then start to categorize them. Try to make one story be the thread, perhaps, as opposed to everything you've ever thought of under the sun. So it's important, I think, really, if you are planning that wedding and you've got four or five speakers, ask each of them to prepare 2 minutes. Because more than likely, when they get up there and the nerves go, even if they've got a written script, they're going to go a little long because they start to ad lib and they start to feel in the moment. Even if they've got nerves, they'll start to rush and then they'll add more things. So if you tell them 2 minutes, they might go five. If you tell them 5 minutes, they might go 10. And if you've got five speakers, now you've got 40 minutes of people going on and it really does get long.
Yeah.
So try to encourage people to prepare beforehand. Try to have them rehearse with somebody else and try to have a lighthearted story or something that's going to be from their early childhood. It doesn't have to be that Billy Bob had 85 girlfriends and five of them are in the audience right now. We don't need all the details. Sometimes we just need a little color around the edges, and that can make for a better story than getting deep and dark and detailed that we don't need to hear. So keep it light, keep it a little bit of fun, but the formula, it's kind of helpful because sometimes people that have never given them before, they want to know, where do I even start? A couple of thank yous, a congratulations, there's the story, back to congratulations, and sit down.
Yeah. Well, there's also, it strikes me, an expectation that in wedding speeches especially from the groom and from the bride and from the best man as well, and the parents too, however many people are speaking, that the groom has, or the speech has to end on a kind of a heartfelt note.
Yeah.
That you have to maybe, you know, have a few people touch their hearts and maybe snivel with tears. Now, if you're a lad, that's really hard because, you know, they've never done that before. Like, that's talking about your feelings. They'd rather be beaten to death with a hurley than talk about their feelings in public.
I actually worked with a client who was an executive and a farmer by his trade. And before he got into the role where we were working on the executive level, and then he was going to be the groom. And I was asking him, tell me about the time you met her. And you were thought you were asking him to explain something that was just like the so it was like, well, we met in college. Okay, is there any more to that story? I mean, you're right. Sometimes it's hard to talk about feelings. And so to have someone actually even have you draw a little more color. And then you don't have to say all of that sort of weepy, happy, clappy. Yeah. But do try to talk a little bit from the heart. But if it's not who you are, it is going to feel weird up there at the day of the wedding. So if it doesn't feel like you, I would certainly say, don't suddenly reach for the emotional, like, well, that everyone's going to get to ditch you.
The other thing, though, if the groom can't do that, you're sitting there thinking, how the hell did they get married in the first place if he's never
She might be a little more introverted, or she might be really extremely extroverted and be the balance to all of that. You never know. But what I would say certainly is don't suddenly, if you're not someone who tells jokes and feels like they land, this is not the time to try them out. If you have a warm or a funny anecdote, that's easier. Stories are easier than jokes, so don't try to go for the joke. If you feel that it's boring, read it to someone else, and they might be able to say, oh, you might be able to add a little bit here or try to do a little bit here. But certainly don't be writing it the night before or the morning of and think suddenly you're going to rise to the edge, to the level of the occasion. You're more likely to fall to your level of preparation and practice. So do get some stuff on paper, read it out loud, see if it sounds like you. A lot of times people write differently than they speak. And that's a real zinger if you're in the audience going, what is that? Doesn't sound at all. If you've used ChatGPT or Claude or whoever's your AI go-to to try to script something for you, if you've given them a couple of prompts about when I met my now future bride or groom or what have you, and it comes out and it's got all these types of words that you never would say, then don't say them. Make it sound more like you so that it feels like it is coming from your heart. If you're not someone who is wears your heart on your sleeve, then you're not going to want to do it on the day. Find maybe a couple of ways for you that you would say. And self-deprecating humor is a good one. So if you even say, I've never said it out loud before, but here I am, the first and last time you're ever going to hear me say it out loud, but I love you, Billy Bob, and then you do it, then that's going to be a nice moment without having you go dig deep.
Yeah, yeah. As long as their name is Billy Bob.
Well, yeah,
that would be hilarious if it was the wrong wedding. Gina, thanks a million as ever. Gina London there, former CNN White House correspondent and Sunday Independent columnist.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.